Hello, everybody. This is Mike Carstensen, Commissioner for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 100 of Wheat All About It, or what I call my interview with the interviewer. I've known of Scott Yates. I've read his stories in the Capitol Press when he was a reporter there, and when he became Director of Communications at the Washington Grain Commission, I saw his byline in Wheat Life. But I didn't really begin to know Scott until I got on the Washington Grain Commission board last January. For a communications guy, he's not real outspoken. I guess you could say he does not really beat his chest. He just doesn't want us to really know of all his accomplishments. I have done a couple of podcasts with Scott, one where he came out with me to plant a spring crop on my farm in April. That was episode 72. And then again, he returned for episode 91, where we harvested that same piece of ground. So, I know him, but I really don't know him, which is why I came up with the idea of interviewing him for the 100th episode of Wheat All About It. I thought it would be a good idea for all of us to get to know the man behind the voice. So, I started the interview by asking him to tell me a little bit about his family.
Well, I'm divorced, gulp, twice. It's something I'm a bit ashamed of, actually, because I admire the farmers I know, 90% of them, who have remained married to the person they initially tied the knot. But then again, I'm most proud of the offspring which resulted from my first marriage. I have three daughters, Emily, Maggie, and Chloe. There have been struggles along the way with them. I think struggle is built in life, but we have persevered, and I feel so incredibly lucky for having my daughters in my life. Emily is Assistant Attorney General working with the Community College in Spokane. She's married to Colin Harper, a private attorney, and they have blessed me with my first grandchild, Sloan, also known as Sloaney Baloney. My middle daughter, Maggie, is Spokane County's Criminal Justice Administrator. And Chloe is graduating next June with her master's in teaching from Lewis and Clark College in Portland. I have a very close relationship with all three of them, and I couldn't be more proud.
Okay. Well, Scott, you've been on the job since, I don't know when, but tell us.
I've been on the job since April 2008, and that was an auspicious time to get on the wheat bandwagon, because as you'll recall from April 2008 or thereabouts until 2012, the wheat industry was on a tear with prices that were historically high.
Okay. Tell me about your job today, currently.
Well, I'm Director of Communications and Producer Relations. It's a long title. And, of course, I've been here for just a little bit over 10 years. And, you know, there were people who wondered about the transition from being a reporter to being a communications director at the WGC. But, you know, I really don't see it that different. Everything I write and I include in the podcast today is accurate to the best of my knowledge at the time. And nobody is telling me to twist the truth. I'm a real believer in transparency. My job is to keep the WGC constituency informed about the research and marketing initiatives we're undertaking to ensure that wheat from eastern Washington and the Pacific Northwest remains abundant and that we continue to have markets to sell into.
Since you've been on the job, has your opinion of the Grain Commission changed?
You know, I've even when I was giving the Grain Commission hell, and it was the Wheat Commission back then, I always had a good opinion about the organization. Tom Mick, the former CEO, he took it personally, but I just felt that I was doing my job. And I have to really, you know, I owe Tom a debt of gratitude because he really took a chance on me when he hired me. Afterwards, he told me that he asked two people in the industry whether he should hire me, and one said, hell no. And the other one said, absolutely. And, you know, I told Tom at the time that I would do just as good a job for him as I did for the Capitol Press. And I think that's what I've done.
Okay, well, we'll get back to the Grain Commission topic in a minute, but first let's go back, and I'm assuming your major in college was journalism, and if you had to do it all over again, is that the route you would go?
Wow. Given the state of journalism now, that's a real tough one to answer. I was lucky to be part of journalism when objectivity was the gold standard, and I was a real believer in getting the other side's point of view on an issue, because there's always another side, and I don't believe that that's necessarily the case anymore. I don't know what the solution is, but as to your question, if I had it to do over again, I would still gravitate towards something in writing. I'm not sure it would be journalism.
Okay. What's the unknown talent that Scott Yates has?
I make a mean meatloaf. And I can wiggle my ears.
Okay. Everybody, you should see his ears wiggle, but you won't be able to. Just imagine it. What keeps you up at night?
That I have hurt someone's feelings.
What's the most important piece of equipment or technology that you use for your job?
Well, for the podcast, it's right here in front of you. It's called an H6 Handy Recorder, and it's like having a soundboard in your pocket. And for my writing, it's my trusty MacBook Pro, which is also in front of us here. And I also edit the podcasts on the MacBook Pro, so it's not pencils and pens anymore.
Okay. A few questions were sent in and asked by some of our listeners. One is, what do you look for in a good hat? And explain that question.
Okay, well, for those who don't know me, I wear a brimmed hat, like a Stenson, but much cheaper. And it was actually Tom Mick who had a hand in making that change in my life. I had been wearing some variation of ball caps to work after he hired me, and he let me know that the look was not doing me any justice. So now that I do wear a brimmed hat, I find all sorts of reasons to justify them over ball caps. Did you know that hats of the kind that I wear were men's everyday attire until John F. Kennedy became president? Roosevelt, Truman, Eisenhower, they all wore hats like mine. But Kennedy had a healthy head of hair, and he didn't like wearing a hat because it smushed his hair down. Unfortunately, when he didn't wear brimmed hats, other American men followed suit.
One other question you need to explain and answer. How has yoga affected your mental and physical well-being?
Now, I'm not sure that I do yoga per se anymore. Yoga is a ritual, and what I do now is really stretching, using many of the poses that I learned in yoga. And, you know, who's to say what I would be like without it in terms of my mental well-being, because getting older has also changed that. I mean, I'm much more patient now than I was as a younger person. In terms of my physical well-being, however, you know, it's clear to me I couldn't have been as active as I am without the stretching that I do. You know, at some point we have to understand that age takes its toll. I do think we can stave it off a bit, however, and stretching and walking are number one and number two on my list for doing that.
What has surprised you most about doing a podcast?
What has surprised me? Well, let me tell you what I like about it. What I like about it is telling our Grain Commission constituents, farmers and landlords, things that they might not learn anywhere else. I also like educating folks who have joined in to listen who aren't farmers, particularly folks at WSU, researchers and administrators. I think for them that listening to Weed All About It really helps for them to stay abreast of what the industry faces. Not to mention, a quarter of my podcasts feature researchers from WSU or the Agricultural Research Service. I've also really come to enjoy the production aspect of the podcast. You know, a podcast is more than the two of us talking. I always saw the title of producer at the end of movies, and I wondered what they did. Now I'm a producer, writer, and editor, and I have a better idea of how everything fits together. How was I to know? I could have stunk up the place, but I seem to have a facility for it, which is much better than the alternative.
Okay. This leads into a question. What would you like to tell non-farmers about farmers and things they might not understand about what it takes to grow food for our world?
I had a person high up in the NRCS, that's the Natural Resource Conservation Service, say to me once, "You put a hurdle in front of a farmer and he'll figure out how to get over it." Now, he was talking about regulation, something that farmers already think there's far too much of, but it's true. Again and again over my career, hurdles have been set up and farmers have figured out how to get over them, or live with them in any case.
What are some of the qualities that you see in people involved in agriculture that makes them successful?
Well, patience is a virtue, and I think most farmers are blessed with patience, or at least patience that is beyond my own. And I really do think that living life in seasons and rotations changes a man, or makes a different one to begin with. You know, there's actually studies about it. I'll always remember back in 2011, researchers found that there were two regions of the brain involved in emotions and anxiety that became overactive in city dwellers, but not in people who grew up in rural environments, even if they subsequently moved to the city. I've also, you know, in my career, I've really dealt with cutting-edge farmers. I mean, as a reporter, you're not writing about run-of-the-mill farmers for the most part. And I can say that through my association with the WGC, the people who run for the board positions aren't run-of-the-mill either. Of the farmers that I know, I like their willingness to show up, because as they say, that's who the world is run by. And finally, I think that most successful farmers have a facility for numbers that eludes me.
If you had to pick two topics that you would want your listenership to get from the Washington Grain Commission, what would those two topics be?
That the money which is assessed on each bushel of wheat that they produce is being put to good use, and that the people who they elect to the board are really interested in fulfilling the Washington Grain Commission's duties.
Tell me what is absolutely the best moment of any of your podcasts that you've done, and what is absolutely the worst moment for Scott Yates of any of your podcasts you've done.
Okay, so the best moment of the podcast I've done is not an actual podcast. It's getting a comment on a podcast. And the comment came from Chris Heron, who farms down near Connell. And he told me that after listening to the podcast that I did with Jay Penner, who broke his neck and was paralyzed from the chest down, caused him to go out and buy a ladder and keep it in the back of his truck so that he would not have the same mishap as occurred to Jay. And so, you know, the fact that someone listened to that podcast and it made a difference in how they go about their life, is very fulfilling. And actually, that podcast has also made a difference in how I go about my life.
Okay. What about the worst moment in a podcast?
Oh, there's no worst moments, because you can always edit out the worst moments. The worst moments never make the air.
Okay. What are some challenges and questions that landlords who don't live on the farm have about ground they own?
I think they have to be really careful about who they get to farm their land in the first place. I mean, it's incredibly important that you get someone who is dedicated to being a farmer and who is going to be there for the long haul, because the last thing you want to do is be in a position where you have to find another farmer. You know, farmers out there are getting very picky about the land that they choose to farm, and it used to be that you might have a piece of land to farm and 10 farmers who wanted to do it. And I've heard of people who have looked for farmers and the farmers have just turned them down. They just don't want the land.
Scott, you have no dog in the hunt. And when I say that, I mean you are not a grower. You are not a landlord. You are communications director for the Washington Grain Commission. In your opinion, is the balance between research, education, and marketing a good balance? Your objective opinion.
Oh my, this is out of my wheelhouse. I really feel that marketing is incredibly important right now because of everything that's going on in the world. And I think that the Grain Commission has embraced that as well. Research still takes the majority of the money, but marketing is also a slow process. Asia has been our bread and butter, and now we're looking down into Latin America, Central and South America, to build markets there. The whole thing with going on with Russia and the Black Sea, I mean, boy, what's happened over there in that part of the world, how they're able to produce wheat, how the quality has been improving. We have to be so competitive. I mean, we have to be even more competitive than we have been in the past.
You know, if there was one thing you would want a farmer to know from a podcast, what is that?
One thing. I don't think there is one thing for a farmer to know. That's why there are 100 of these podcasts. I think in every one of these podcasts, there is something for farmers to take advantage of. I think that there are things that farmers can listen to these podcasts and will make a difference in their lives, either personally or professionally.
Scott, if there was one thing you'd want a landlord to know, what would that be?
I think it's important for landlords to be involved with their industry. Unfortunately, land is being broke up into smaller and smaller pieces, and the folks who do own the land out there do not have much attachment to it. It would be wonderful if there was a landlord organization. I think some landlords listening to this should try that.
You know, Scott, you've told us your hidden talent, but tell us, what is your hobby?
It is walking a hobby. I try to walk 100,000 steps a week, but I don't do it on pavement. Manitou Park on the South Hill is about a block from my house. It's a 100-acre park, and much of it is just rolling hills of grass and trees, trails, rock outcroppings in nature. You see, it's my belief that it's not our brain that makes us human, but the fact we walk. Everything has a brain, but birds aside, we are the only species that walks on 2 feet, and we walked in an inhospitable environment. Our existence was challenged by a landscape that sculpted our bodies into the perfect vehicles to surmount the obstacles faced. And there are studies after studies about the benefit of walking through nature for improving everything from our cardiovascular system to our eyesight, not to mention our emotional well-being.
What is Scott Yates' biggest pet peeve?
Writing minutes. I love the creativity that comes from the work that I do, from the writing this podcast, but minute writing is something that is very precise and you have to follow guidelines. There's no creativity involved. I don't like it.
How does Scott Yates find downtime? Or what would define Scott Yates's downtime?
You know, I was actually thinking about my days and how full they are, how full they feel to me anyway. And I guess the walking is my downtime because I do so much of it. And, I'm always thinking about different things while I'm walking. So, although it's a physical exercise, it's also my downtime.
What is Scott Yates' biggest fear?
What is my biggest fear? I don't have fears like I used to have as a young man. I guess there would be the fear of losing your mind. I was a hospice volunteer for a couple of years when I was a younger man, and I went into some care centers, and I saw people with dementia. So my biggest fear is to wind up like that.
What is Scott Yates' Achilles tendon?
My Achilles heel. What is my Achilles heel? I guess I'm too sensitive. I take things too personally.
I've only been on the Grain Commission for a little less than a year, but it didn't take long for me to be convinced we have a great staff, just an unbelievable staff I appreciate. Besides Scott, that includes our CEO, Glenn Squires, the Washington Grain Commission Vice President, Mary Palmer Sullivan, and Joe Bippert, Program Director. It makes it so much easier to be a board member when you have an excellent staff that backs you up 100%. I hope you have enjoyed the 100th episode of Wheat All About It, or what I've called Interviewing the Interviewer. Scott will be back next week with the 101st episode of Washington Grain Commission sponsored podcast, Wheat All About It.
Grass is fine if you've got a cut or 4 feet and stand in the mud, but we've got two and teeth to chew. Don't give us none of that vegetarian stew. We're carnivores and we ain't ashamed. The reason's simple, it's in the refrain. We feed you.